sacred institutions. Bedroom eyes, they call them in a bygone day. They're the eyes of a man whose lust knows no bounds.
Well, hello everyone. Welcome back to Horny Creek. My name is Mark. With me, as always, is my wife, Carol. How are you doing today, Carol?
Hey, what's up?
Not much. It's been a good week here. It is April 28th, 1999. And we watched an episode of Dawson's Creek.
Yes, we did.
It's named after us, Carol. A Perfect Wedding is the name of the episode. Our episode was A Perfect Wedding. What?
What?
Our wedding was a perfect episode.
What?
Of our lives.
Dear Lord.
Oh, my goodness. Are my arms straight?
No.
It's a sign of, sign of stroke. Is my smile crooked?
No. You're all right.
Anyway, so we watched Dawson's Creek, and it was fairly horny until it was not at all horny.
There was no horniness in this episode.
There was some horniness.
Who? Who was horny?
There's Pacey's talking about marrying, what's her name? What's her name?
Andy, but he was that's not horny.
Well, she was talking about marrying him. They were talking about maybe we should have a romantic dinner in Cape Side or whatever, or go to New York, or have sex in the woods.
Yeah, when did they talk about marriage, though?
At the wedding. And then, because she mentions Venice.
Oh, okay.
And Dawson's like, you know, he's horny-ish for Katie Holmes.
Okay, there's a little bit of that.
And the dad is horny-ish for the teacher.
Sure.
And the mom is horny-ish for the dad.
Okay. So, this episode opens...
And someone dies.
Spoilers. This episode opens in Dawson's room, but I thought for once they weren't opening in Dawson's room. I was like excited. I was like, oh my gosh, they're doing this somewhere else, because he was watching a movie with his mother.
He was watching his movie with his mother.
And then when they panned out, his mother is on his bed in his room watching this movie.
Yeah.
Like, get some boundaries, people. You have a living room.
Well, first of all, yeah, get some boundaries. Second of all, why is it more comfortable to sit on a bed and watch it on like a 14-inch TV?
Right.
As opposed to the TV that you have in the living room.
Now, the only thing I can think is that maybe he had to hook it up a certain way to be able to watch it. So maybe that was why, but it seemed kind of weird.
It did seem weird. It makes sense when it's the teenagers.
Mm-hmm.
But not when it's the mom.
Yeah. No, they should be watching it in the living room.
Yeah, I agree.
But, you know, she's telling Dawson what, you know, how brilliant he is, because he needs to hear it, because that teacher, you know, tore him down.
Yeah, that asshole.
Who's dating his dad.
Yeah, also asshole, presumably.
Why is his dad an asshole? Just because he wants to get laid? Well, I mean.
But he's dating one of Dawson's teachers. He's dating one of his son's teachers, it seems. Not great.
Well, it's, you know, definitely a moral gray area.
I like how he's a teacher out of nowhere, just all of a sudden.
Right? She even says, so how's your father liking his new profession? How is it? Like, I could see that he took a break or something, but how is it a new profession and he did no schooling or testing or anything? Just all of a sudden he's a teacher?
Yeah, I guess so. I guess he must have a degree. You know, you don't need a teaching degree to teach. You need some kind of college degree. And then, but you do need to pass certifications. You need to get, teachers are certified by the state. Like, that's the thing. It doesn't even matter that this is like a small town and it's like, anyone can be mayor. Anyone can be the sheriff or whatever. It's not like that. It's dictated by the state. So.
But I mean, okay, anyone can be a teacher if they have a college degree. That's not true either, because it depends on what your degree is in. Because I didn't say
anyone can be a teacher, you said, as long as you have any kind of
you said degree. Some kind of degree. That's what you said. You have to have some kind of degree and the certification, but it's not, I mean, any degree.
Okay. What do you mean? What degree couldn't you teach with?
Social work. Cause I tried.
You couldn't teach social studies?
No, I called And I asked, because they were hiring substitute teachers, I said, I have a master's of social work degree. I would like to substitute teach. Couldn't I teach? And they're like, well, what would you teach? And I said, well, I could teach like psychology, sociology. She's like, is your degree in psychology or sociology? And I said, no, it's in social work.
I think she was wrong. Hmm. I think the person that you talked to is incorrect.
You think?
Yeah. We'd have to go to the library and look up the state, the state standards. Or maybe you could find it on the internets. But I think she's wrong. Because I'm pretty sure you could teach those things. Because
you don't even need to have the certification to be a substitute, I don't think.
No, you don't need this. I don't think you need the certification. In fact, I don't even think you need a bachelor's degree most of the time to be a substitute.
Really?
Yeah, I think you can do it with an associate's degree.
Oh, wow. I didn't know that. Well, then what the fuck, lady?
Yeah, I think she was totally wrong. But yeah, if you have a degree in any English, like any English branch or just English, mm-hmm. you can teach English. You can, you know, any of the sciences, the maths, pretty much anything.
Well, you know, I had enough frickin' credits in English. I could have minored, but I didn't. And that makes me so mad because then I could teach English, but I can't because I didn't minor.
But why would you want to teach it in English?
Why not? I like English. It was my favorite subject. That's why I took so many credits in it.
I don't understand why you'd want to be a teacher.
I don't know. It's, you know, I like teaching. I like training people at work. It's similar.
Okay. I don't know. Well, you don't need to be a teacher because we do this.
Yeah. But anyways, Mitch is all of a sudden a teacher and not a substitute teacher.
Yeah. No.
An actual full-on teacher.
Yeah, he must have gotten his certification. He went down to Bangor, Maine, or wherever the fuck their certification thing is. I had to go to Detroit.
You got certified?
Yeah.
Oh, that's cool.
Yeah, when I was taking classes to possibly be a teacher before we started doing this, I got certified.
Yeah, don't pay any attention to I don't know, the man behind the curtain there, people. So
let's talk about the episode.
Yeah.
You learned enough about our lives.
We're going to discuss Dawson's Creek now. Joey's dad, the big, you know, thing at the end of the last episode.
The big thing. Is that Joey's dad's nickname? The big thing.
Gross. He had returned home, surprised them by being, you know, at the house.
Right.
And he is all amped up, raring to go, wants to get the family business back in order. And Joey's not super comfortable with this. Like, he's got them catering a wedding because the caterer fell through. And she's like, we're not caterers. We grill hamburgers. Like, this is not us.
I will say, if I don't understand why neither one of them, well, I guess Bessie. I don't understand why Bessie, who's the older one, never thought about something like this. Mm-hmm. But, like, he comes in and just is like, yeah, let's make all this money. And they were like, oh, yeah. Why not?
So they're trying to do that. She's real nervous about it. She's noticing people around town are like, you know, looking and talking like they always did and are, it's getting bad again.
Yeah.
Like, at one point.
I don't think he should be back in town. He was fucking cheating on that dying woman.
Yeah.
And then selling drugs.
Yeah. It's awful.
My Earl can't get quality heroin since he got put in jail.
Exactly. They decide to just hire a bunch of Joey's friends to be wait staff.
Yeah, to help with the catering.
Yeah.
It seems like they're doing more than catering, though. Like, they are hosting the reception,
mm-hmm.
and were present for the wedding. So it's like, was the wedding at the Ice House, too? What's going on?
Well, I don't think any of this is at the Ice House. They brought the Ice House to the place.
Okay, so I was super confused, but now that makes more sense. I was like, this set does not look like their little fucking restaurant.
No. Yeah, because caterers travel. Caterers go to events, you know.
Have caterer will travel.
Exactly. But it seems like, honestly, like they're doing a decent job. Like, Joey seems to think that it's, like, going terribly because she's just pessimistic. But I think they did all right.
Joey's always a downer.
She is. During this wedding, though, like, fucking Pacey and Andy.
Yeah.
they're like, I don't know. She's a bull in a china shop.
Andy's always freaking out for no reason.
Yeah. She didn't want to help. She didn't want to come work there.
But I don't somehow, like weddings.
Somehow he gets her there. And what's up with that? Why would she lie about that? Like,
it's a bet.
What?
He bets her. That's how he gets her there.
Oh, yeah.
He says, everyone's getting $60 to do this, mm-hmm. all the kids to help. And all the teenagers carrying water that's supposed to be champagne.
Yeah, that was so weird. The whole time they're walking on these trays of the, you know, water.
Yeah, and it's supposed to be champagne, and it's not champagne colored.
There's no bubbles.
And there's no bubbles.
At least, don't be so lazy. Put some, like, apple juice or at least some bubbly in there. I don't know.
Yeah, something. Anyway, so they...
Seltzer water.
Right. So they... This episode's off the rails. So they... He says, I'll give you my $60. You can keep all of it if you're not in love with weddings by the end because I'm a wedding guy or whatever.
Which is a weird thing for a 16-year-old boy to say. Like, I don't think most teenage boys, no matter how much of a romantic soul they may have, are going to be, like, all about a wedding.
Carol, let me stop you there because you're completely wrong.
Am I?
He's 17.
Ah.
He's older than the rest.
That makes it all better.
Yeah.
He must have gotten held back a grade.
I don't know. Well, he got... I'll tell you what, he got held by that
teacher. For sure.
So, for whatever reason, she's all like, I hate weddings. Weddings suck.
But, like, it's a lie.
Yeah.
Because later she's like, okay, you got me. I love weddings. I love everything about weddings. And, like,
there's a list. I love fondants.
Yeah. I tear up at taffeta.
Yeah, what's taffeta?
It's, like, material that a lot of, like, bridesmaids' dresses are made out of.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, it was ridiculous. Like, why would she lie about not liking weddings? It's not...
Yeah, nothing... It does nothing for the episode.
No, it does nothing for her character, and it doesn't make any sense. It's not a thing to be embarrassed about. She's a teenage girl. She should like weddings. Like,
yeah, and she's a girly thing. She's like, oh, you know, they pretend like they're all happy and stuff, but their family's being torn apart or whatever, like mine, like all... All families fall apart or whatever. And it's like, okay, but, you know, your brother didn't, like, die at a wedding. And your dad didn't leave at the wedding.
Right.
Like, I don't understand why she is equating her family problems with weddings.
Mm-hmm.
There's no connection.
No, I mean, I guess she just doesn't like the idea of marriage, but then they were talking about marriage, and she wasn't like, oh, I never want to get married or anything
that. That would make sense.
Yeah.
If she was like, no, I don't want to get married, I don't want to have kids or whatever. If their subplot wasn't, I hate weddings, but their subplot was Pacey talking about, yeah, you know, one day, like, I'll get married, maybe one day, you know, we'll get married or whatever, and she's like, oh, no, I'm not getting married. I don't want any kids, I'm not getting married, I don't want a family. Kind of thing, and then they have conflict over that.
Mm-hmm. That would have been a better episode.
Yeah, that would have made a lot more sense. But yeah, this doesn't make any sense. It's like, oh, my family fell apart. I don't like amusement parks. Mm-hmm. It's something you do with family.
Exactly. And they are tasked with bringing out the wedding cake.
Yeah.
Which, like, okay, there's like three sets of two working together. You got one set doing drinks.
Uh-huh.
One set doing, what, hors d'oeuvres?
Yeah, I think so, yeah.
And then these guys taking care of the cake?
Correct.
That seems like an unfair, like, had it gone smoothly, their job would have taken 5 minutes.
Yeah, exactly.
And the rest of them are working all night, so.
I think that they were supposed to do that and then get on with other things to help other people and stuff like that.
That would make sense.
But instead... Andy gesticulates her arm and knocks the top of the cake over.
Oh, my God. And she's like, look at the little room. It's all covered in frosting. It's so sad.
And they replace it with rice pudding or something.
Yeah, I don't know what the fuck that was. It was nasty.
They, at one point, they're in the back trying to shape the cake and everything. And I don't know what they used to approximate cake, but it was some sort of gelatinous mass. It was not cake material.
No, it did not look good at all. I don't know how they managed to make it look in any way edible, but apparently they did.
Craft Services worked hard on this episode, I think.
I guess. I mean, like, seriously, like, and the bride, like, she's going into, she's like, I want to see the cake. She's like, oh, it's bad luck to see the cake before the wedding.
What bride asks to see the cake?
I mean, I didn't ask to see the cake. I just asked to eat the cake.
Exactly. Delicious cake.
It was the most delicious cake. You know, they were talking about that they're supposed to save the top of the cake. The bride's all excited about this. Mm. In, like, the freezer and then take it out and eat it on their one-year anniversary, and it's good luck.
Yeah.
And I cannot wait to do that because our cake's delicious.
Yeah, it's awesome.
Yeah. It'll be fun.
Yep.
What?
Nothing. You're silly. Anyway, so they, what else fucking happens in this episode? I mean, everyone gets asked to do this wedding except for
Jen. And what the fuck's her name?
Abby. Abby Morgan.
So, yeah, so Jen and Abby make up because Jen's looking for somebody to hang out with, basically. I mean, that they've taken away every other possible thing she could do with her time. So she's going to go hang out with Abby again.
Well, it's funny because she's like, oh, you know, I'm sick of, like, whatever, being in this box and stuff like that. And she's like, I've tried to change my image. I'm sick of, like, being the good girl or whatever. And it's like, when were you the good girl?
Yeah. I mean, in the
beginning. For the first half of the first season.
Yeah, in the very beginning she was trying. But, like, she's been, like, fucking everybody and drinking all the time. Like, exactly. I don't know where she gets the idea that she's, like, I think she said pristine.
Mm-hmm.
Like, no, ma'am.
No one thinks you're pristine.
No.
You were passed around a lot.
Abby, though, Abby compares her to a rat in a trial where they take everything away and just put it in a box so it chews its own foot off.
Yeah.
That was some fucked up shit. Do you think that's true?
I don't know if that's true or not, but if that's true, I'd like to talk to that rat. To be like,
would you like to have a conversation with the rat?
Like, what were you thinking? Like, you had no toys or whatever, you were bored, and you thought to yourself, chewing my own foot off sounds like fun. Like, something else.
I mean, it obviously must have lost its mind, as you would in solitary for however long. But I wonder how long it took for the rat to lose its mind to the point that it chewed off his own foot.
If you're that rat, latefee1994 at AOL.com, we'd love to have you on the show.
Right.
Or if you know the rat. Or if you know the experiment, I guess.
Right. If you worked on the experiment, let us know. So, yeah, they decide they're going to go out and, like, you know, get crazy, but they're still in Cape Side. They're not going anywhere.
Well, that's what I thought. Because she's like, you're the rat and Cape Side is the box that they put the rat in. And I thought, oh, okay, they're going to go to New York or something like that. Like, that's what I figured is they'd leave Cape Side, but the show does not have the money for them to leave Cape Side.
And apparently there's nothing to do because everyone in the whole town is at this wedding. So they decide that they're going to get dressed up and crash the wedding.
Yeah, well, yeah, that's what Abby says. Let's do that.
Yeah.
Sounds like fun.
She's like, you know, hey, well, you know, we'll get some drinks. We'll hit on some dudes. It'll be fun.
We'll be some wedding crashers and we'll have sex with groomsmen.
So, yeah, they show up and Andy goes out and just, like, rips them up one side and down the other and makes them leave.
I really did not like her character.
No, literally, everyone in the town is at this fucking wedding. How does she know they're not invited? How does she know they're not on the guest list?
Right.
It's not like they're checking invitations at the door.
Obviously not.
I mean, what the fuck, lady?
Because they got in easily.
Yeah.
And, yeah, she's like, there's a reason you weren't invited or whatever. Like, she pretty much acts like they're trash.
Mm-hmm.
She's like, we don't need this right now. We don't need your element right now. She makes some allusion to the fact that, like, they're crazy people or they're, like, party starters or they're, like, whores or something.
Now, I get why she hates Abby. I mean, Abby was very cruel to her during that election thing where she, like, outed her for being, like, mentally ill or whatever. Like, that was not nice.
And Abby does say maybe you should up your mood stabilizer
or something. So, like, that makes a little bit of sense. I don't know why Andy's being so mean to Jen. Like, I kind of thought they were supposed to be friends.
Yeah, me too.
So
I don't know why Jen is iced out of this inner circle at all.
Yeah. Well, she's not sleeping with Dawson.
Yeah.
And Joey never liked her that much to begin with.
True.
So, I mean, I think she's kind of fluidly in and out of the group.
Yeah.
But she's still a main cast member. She's still in the introduction with the rest of them. So, yeah, she should be more involved
than she is. She still doesn't want to wait until her life is over or whatever.
Exactly.
So, for a while, until we get to the end, that's pretty much her storyline. She's drinking with Abby. They're very much trying to rehabilitate Abby's character a little bit, I think, as more of like a... More of like she's a partier and stuff like that, but not just a cruel villain.
Right.
And the other big thing that's going on is, like you said, the dad, Katie Holmes' dad, and he's like a chef or something like that. I guess before he decided to be a drug dealer, he was a chef.
Like, I got the impression, too, he's talking about bringing back the family business. So, like, I thought that they opened the restaurant when he was gone to make money, but it sounds like they already had the restaurant and he was running it and selling drugs at the same time.
That's the impression I get, yeah. Maybe business wasn't that good or whatever.
Yeah, maybe, I guess.
Maybe he was sprinkling uppers in the risotto or whatever. But so he's kind of like in charge in the back and everything. And at the beginning, before this wedding starts taking place, Joey's looking for Dawson, and she finds, what's his face? Andy's brother.
Jack.
Jack, yeah. So she's like, Jack, let's talk.
Yeah.
My dad's back, and I'm going to be in trouble.
Hey, yeah, she spills her guts out to Jack about how she's feeling.
And Jack gives her perfect advice. Apparently.
What was his perfect advice?
I don't remember. But the theme of the episode is that Jack gives perfect advice.
Right. So eventually, like, Jack runs into Dawson and brings up that Joey's dad's back. And Dawson looks like he's got a knife to the chest because he doesn't know this.
Because it wasn't the first thing out of her mouth was to come to him.
Right.
That's the big problem is that Joey's not sharing with him in the way that he used to, and he feels like this disconnection from her.
Yeah. So he's butthurt for sure.
Yeah, 100%.
What else is going on? Like the teacher.
Oh, I know what else is going on.
The dad and the teacher meet the mom.
Yes.
That goes great. She doesn't even speak to them. Like Dawson introduces them, and the mom just ignores them entirely.
Yeah, Dawson introduces them. The teacher says something like, how are you enjoying the wedding or something like that? Mm-hmm. And she just turns to Dawson and is like, I'm going to go find my seat, honey. And she leaves.
Yeah. So, like, she decides she hates this lady because earlier in the episode, she told Dawson she wants to get his dad back.
Yeah, so now she's going to try to win the dad back.
And she was geared up to do that when he walked in with a date to the wedding. Yeah. So.
Which we figured was going to happen.
Well, yeah.
I guess we had the advantage of knowing that she got into his truck at the end of that carnival thing where she ripped Dawson's heart out.
So I guess this is news to Dawson, too, that she's dating his dad?
Yeah. He knows they're colleagues and everything because he mentions that, but I don't think he mentions that the dad is probably fucking someone else.
Yeah.
Because I don't think he knows that.
So.
And the dad justifies it by saying, like, oh, you know, we're colleagues and she's nice and smart.
And she has beautiful.
Good opinions about movies. She knows what's good and what's bad, especially from amateur filmmakers.
Right. I wonder if it would change his opinion if he knew how badly she hurt Dawson.
I don't know, because I feel like he's thinking with his penis a lot right now.
Yeah, probably.
John Wesley Shipp. I love how he was the complete victim. His wife cheated on him, but the show has subtly changed things to the mom's side somehow.
Yeah.
It's like, because I do kind of think he's being more of an asshole than she is right now, but she's the one that broke up their marriage.
She is. Yeah, it's weird. It is. Like, I don't know how, like, we get so manipulated by these people.
Yep. But then the other big thing that's going on in the wedding is that Dawson comes in to get the bride, I guess, or whatever, and she does not want to get married. She's crying. She's trying to open the window.
Yeah, she's going to try to pull a Rachel from Friends and climb out the bathroom window.
Exactly.
I wonder how many brides have actually done that. I bet you like one in all of history.
Really?
Climbed out a bathroom window?
Well,
those are big poofy dresses.
I guess that's true.
They do not fit through a window.
I would think mostly you would just like sneak out the back or like just tell somebody I'm not going out there.
Yeah. And my thought is you probably arrived in clothes other than the big poofy wedding dress, so maybe you take that off.
Yeah.
Not run away in your poofy ass dress.
How many pornography films do you think have started with a bride running away?
None.
In a wedding dress.
Have you seen a porno like this?
And been like, let me stop this car and I'll get in. Drive me someplace.
Yeah, I've never thought about that ever.
No, okay.
No. Right. Have you?
Have you seen this? I thought about it just now.
Have you seen it?
Have I seen what?
The porn.
Oh, there's one? There is one?
That's what I'm asking you.
I don't know.
So no. The answer is no. Okay. I have not seen it. Okay. Because it doesn't exist.
All right.
Because obviously you're an encyclopedia of all porn and you would know.
Yeah, but I don't know why you think. I don't know why you think that at all.
Well, it's like, okay, in my story over here, I know that a bride snuck out a window in Friends, right? And I'm like, how many brides? So there's one. So I'm like, I wonder how many
That's
people did it.
That's not real life.
I realized as I was saying it.
You were talking about what happened in real life.
Shh, don't make sense. Come on.
Anyway, so Dawson stays in there for like 20 minutes being like, I don't know what to say.
Yeah, he's freaking out.
He turns into Don Knotts from any movie Don Knotts has ever been in.
Yeah.
That's Barney Fife, for those of you that don't know. And so then Jack comes over and Jack's like, oh, let me have a crack at her. And he says two things to her and she's like, oh yeah, that's right. I should get married. He's like, oh, you know, perfect doesn't exist.
Yeah. She thinks that like when Dawson asked her if she was in love with the guy that she's marrying, she said she didn't know.
Yeah.
That's a bad response.
That's the thing is that first of all, she responds a lot differently to what Jack has to say mm-hmm. than what Dawson has to say, so it's kind of unfair. But I also feel like maybe he shouldn't have convinced her to get married.
Yeah.
Like, I don't know that this wedding is actually going to work. Like, I don't know that this marriage is going to last more than a year.
Yeah. If she's not sure she's in love, she should not be getting married.
Because Jack's like, why don't you just walk down the aisle and see if you get caught up in the moment or whatever. It's like,
yeah,
of course you do. You've got hormones and shit going through your brain.
Yeah. He's like, when you see him, you'll know. You'll feel it. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
So. And then she tries to play it off like, I'm so happy. This was such a great decision. Thank you. You saved my life.
Mm-hmm. We'll see. I mean, we won't, but.
We won't see, but in my headcanon, they're divorced.
Yeah, 9 months.
Just long enough to get knocked up.
Exactly.
And to ruin a child's life, too.
Single motherhood.
So
there you go.
Jack can feel great about that.
So during the wedding, Joey is talking to her sister about
Bessie.
How she feels about her dad being there. That she's like, I don't know how he can come back after tearing our family apart and think he can just put it back together in one day.
Mm-hmm.
And he hears her say that.
Yeah, that's nice.
Yeah, not good. So she's trying to like make up with him and apologize. But I mean, it's true.
Yeah.
Like he deserves some, you know, consequences.
Yes, he thinks that like it's everything's going to be great or whatever, and she's struggling with this new paradigm. Dawson, meanwhile, is like, I can't connect with Joey or whatever, and Jack's like, because he says he talks about the bride, and he's like, you know, you talked to her for like 2 minutes, and everything's cool. I had her about to hang herself or whatever, and he's like, maybe what you need to do is force a connection with Joey.
Yeah.
Which sounded really predatory to me. But it turns out, I guess, forcing a connection is just like when he comes up to her and she's like, I'm fine. And he goes, you're crying. I know you're not fine. Talk to me. That was forcing a connection, I guess.
Yeah, I guess.
Because then she opens up to him about her dad and all the stuff that she's dealing with and everything. And then he gives perfect advice.
Mm-hmm.
Where he's like, you know, you thought that everything was going to be back to normal and your life, all your problems would be fixed and your life would be great when he came back. And he probably thought the same thing, too. And that's not reality. And that's not an expectation. But you're strong and you shouldn't give a fuck what people think. And you've been ignoring them for the last 3 years or whatever.
Yeah, just keep ignoring them.
Yeah.
So she goes and talks to her dad and tells her dad that, you know, she doesn't care about what other people think and she is glad to have him back and, you know, she thinks he should come out there with her and, you know, hold his head up high. And
but he doesn't want to. He's not ready yet.
Yeah.
Which I thought was fine, but her face looks like, no, that's not going to work for me.
Mm-hmm.
So then the big triumph is he gets dressed in a suit and comes out.
Because he was in a chef's outfit before, because apparently, like we said, he's a chef.
But now he needs to mingle with the guests.
Yeah. So he sees Dawson dancing with his mom.
Yeah, because the mom's all sad because her ex-husband's dancing with the whore.
Mm-hmm. And so he's dancing with Katie Holmes.
Yeah.
And they decide to switch partners.
Right.
So he dances with Dawson's mom, which, like, I think that would be so weird if they end up together.
I think that'd be hilarious, though.
Yeah, I don't think it would happen, but I don't know. And then Dawson.
What do they call him? The big unit? What'd you say they call him? The big guy? The big thing? No, the big thing.
I didn't say that at all.
His nickname is the big thing. So maybe that'd be good for Mrs. Leary there.
Maybe. But Dawson and Joey are dancing, and then they kiss. So they're, like, back together, I think, now?
Maybe. We'll see.
I hope it's not just another, like, oh, whatever. Like, just like they talked before, and I thought they were back together, and they weren't.
Yeah. You know who's not back together, though, is Abby and Life.
Dear God.
They are firmly separated.
So, her and Jen had stolen a bottle of champagne from the wedding, and she's walking around drinking champagne out of the bottle.
They're on the pier and stuff like that, just like
stumbling around.
Yeah.
Not a great idea to get drunk near water, just in general.
Right.
I mean, I know a lot of people do. You take coolers of beer out on the boat or, you know, while you're fishing. Not smart.
This is not funny, and I probably shouldn't mention it, and I won't mention any names. But I did go to school with someone who got really drunk at a party and fell into the pool, and everyone else was drunk and passed out and stuff like that, so no one noticed, and he died.
That's awful.
In the pool.
That's so awful.
So I have a personal connection to someone dying in water with alcohol like that. So Carol's right. Be careful if you're around water with alcohol.
So, yeah, Jen, or Abby's talking, what else? She was talking about.
So, her last words are really fucking depressing.
Yeah, but what was she talking about before that?
They were talking about, like, life and shit like that or whatever, or what they want to do in the future and everything. Abby says, I don't think I'll ever be happy because anytime I'm somewhere, I want to be somewhere else. And when I have something, I want something else.
And then she trips and hits her head on
the board, like part of the plank of the thing.
And Jen kind of chuckles at her, and she's like, ow, that hurt you, bitch.
Yep.
And then she stands up.
Well, she tries to stand
up. And falls over the railing.
Yep. And into the water. And Jen's like, what the fuck? And then Jen jumps in to go after her. I'm not exactly sure how this would she didn't save her or whatever, but I guess it's dark and the water's dark and I guess maybe she couldn't see her. I don't know.
I mean, they're both wearing coats. It's cold out. So they've got that heavy clothing that's going to make her sink faster. It's make it harder for Jen to swim.
That's true. But we cut from there. I mean, this isn't the exact end of the episode. Mm-mm. We cut from there. We go back to the stuff we already talked about with the dancing and everything. So we're like, we're kind of thinking like, huh, you know, like I hope she's okay or whatever. That's weird. And then we come back, and she's getting zipped into a body bag.
They had her gray, dead face on a stretcher. That was the most shocking part of it all. Like, I was amazed that they killed her, but that they made us look at her fucked up dead body.
Yeah.
That does not seem like a very Dawson's Creek kind of thing to do.
No.
I did not appreciate it.
I really feel like it would have been better if she had been killed by Jason Voorhees. I want that crossover.
That would be
Steve
funny.
Miner. Kevin Williamson, make it happen. I know the rights are not, you know, with Warner Brothers, but whatever.
And poor Jen is just standing off to the side, wrapped in a blanket, sobbing by herself.
Oh, yeah, just crying because her friend is dead.
Her friend's dead. All her other friends are gone at the wedding, and she's just by herself.
It's awful, and that's how the episode ends.
Yeah.
So, Abby's dead.
Abby Morgan.
I read about it a little bit after, because after we watched the episode.
So today.
Yeah. Yeah, I read about it tonight. And apparently she wanted to leave. Monica Keena wanted to leave the show.
So. That's dumb. This is a great show. And she was a great character.
I loved her character.
I'm really sad. Like, I feel like the show's going to miss something without her.
Well, yeah, I think she adds a unique element to the show of, like, not, you know, not cookie cutter Dawson's Creekiness.
How do you think it's going to affect Jen? That's the thing. Like, I feel like is going to go off the rails again.
I agree. I think she's going to go nuts.
Mm-hmm. She's going to be eaten up by guilt. She'll blame herself.
Andy should blame herself, because if it hadn't been for her, they would have been at the wedding.
Yeah. I mean, it's not her fault that they got drunk and fell off a pier, but...
No, so. But, you know, like, she's still a bitch. I don't like her.
Yeah, I don't like her character. I don't like what they've done with her character at all.
Yeah.
She's not nice. She's not nice to anybody. She's not nice to Pacey. Mm-hmm. And I think he deserves better.
I agree. A handsome man always deserves better.
Always, huh? So you're looking for somebody else there, sir?
What are you talking about?
Well, you're saying a handsome man always deserves better, so better than what you have, right?
No, I mean, in your opinion, all the handsome guys on the on the shows we watch deserve better than what they've got.
Ah, okay.
And what better could I find?
Monica Keena. She's hot.
She's hot, but I don't agree.
Okay.
You're hotter than her.
Aw.
Anyway, that is the episode for the week, everyone. Carol, why don't you tell the people where they can see Monica Keena?
You can write us at latefee1994@aol.com.
Uh-huh.
Check out our website at www.retrolatefee.com.
Mm-hmm.
And share the tapes with your friends.
All right, we'll see you next time. Bye.
Bye.